Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans and some bad news for the Titans yesterday. Harold Landry tears his ACL at practice on Wednesday. Where do the Titans go from here? How do they overcome the loss of Harold Landry? We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, you brought this up earlier, and I think it's the natural connection to make in this conversation. I think there was already a significant amount of pressure on Bud Dupree anyway, coming off the season that he had a year ago. He's getting paid a lot of money. He had three sacks last year. Now, I think we understand why. Speaking of ACLs, he was coming off the torn ACL, and it took him a while to get back up to full speed. He had other injuries that he was dealing with last year. And finally, at the end of the season last year, I think we started to see the Bud Dupree that we were looking for as a player. He's healthy now heading into this season. There was already pressure anyway. Now I think there's a pretty more significant, extreme amount of pressure on Bud Dupree heading into this season in terms of you got to be available and you got to be productive on a game-by-game basis if you're Bud Dupree.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got the sense before this, obviously everybody knows the contract Bud Dupree signed, but of course last year, realistically, you had to be somewhat patient, and early in the season he played, and then he kind of admitted at one point for a few weeks, like he probably pushed it a little bit too much. And no, I don't think it was some – I didn't get a sense it was this huge – outcry of like, how did you pay this guy? It's like, okay, you can see it a little bit. And as the season went on, like the Rams game, he had a good game, the Chiefs game, he had some good moments. Like, okay, now you start really reaping the benefits this year. But even going into this year, it was kind of like, it felt like, of course, you want Bud Dupree to have a big year and all that, but there's a lot of different options. And even if he doesn't have some monster year, the Titans could be really good. He could be a part of it. Now it's like, okay, he's got to drive the train. You know, yep. And of course, that happens as it becomes more difficult for him because he doesn't have Landry on the other side. So this very much, to me, shifts to so much more focus to him and focus and there's just a lot on, because we've talked about this before too. And the Titans could get out of that deal after this year. And so I'll have to look that up.
Well, in terms without of, leaving the conversation of this year too much.
Yeah.
I did think about this. You know, we've talked about this with Jeffrey Simmons as well. At some point, the picture of Landry's money, Dupree's money, and whatever Simmons is about to make with his money, like that's a whole lot of investment that you've got in the front four or whatever term you want to use up here if you're the Titans. Like, I think it was a real chance anyway that unless Bud Dupree was phenomenal this year, you may have to move on from him. But now, like Landry tearing his ACL, doesn't that complicate it a little bit too? Like, obviously, I mean, he's younger, so you're going to want him to come back and see what you've got there. But, you know, an ACL, it's not as – career threatening as it used to be, but this doesn't really help John Robinson from that decision either. Because like if Bud Dupree goes out this year and he's just average, and Harold Landry was really good again, then the decision is pretty simple. Like you're getting rid of Bud Dupree after this year, and you're moving on from the contract, and now you're just not going to see what Harold Landry does this year after he got paid.
Right. Yeah. So like exactly. Yeah, like the post June 1 on Bud Dupree is $4.5 million, you know, after the season. So, you know, it's like, okay, so now what are you going to do there at the edge? You know, I mean, like Anenye is a nice developmental player and Adeniyi is a great story and he can give you a little help. But yeah, it's really interesting because, like you said, you got a lot coming on the books here with Simmons soon, one way or the other. That's coming too. It's just a lot invested in that. And of course, if you're John Robinson, this is not the most important thing at all, but if you're John Robinson and you just paid Harold Landry and now this happens, it's like, man, you know, I mean, that's a brutal piece of bad luck. So regardless with Dupree, I mean, it's I have no real sense, honestly, from camp. He was out there a fair amount. He looked fine. He was running around. He talked about how he was healthy. And just like Taylor Lewan, talking about how it's just of such a different offseason when you aren't rehabbing an ACL. So that's all positive. I didn't, yeah, it's not like he played. Did he even play at all in the preseason games? I guess, did he play in one of them for a little bit? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But, and he looked fine out there. Does he look to me like a 10 to 12 sack guy? I don't know. I don't know about that. And again, now, I mean, look, you can talk about Landry not being on the other side. It doesn't help. But, opposing offenses still are going to have to deal with Simmons, of course, and Autry, like you said earlier in the show, Robbie, hugely important. If you get 2021 Autry and 2022, you know, just those two guys, they're still going to me make it so that Bud Dupree has a fair amount of one-on-one matchups that he's going to have an opportunity to win, and he's going to need to win a lot of them and get, you know, and affect quarterbacks.
Well, and if it is Rashad Weaver on the other side, you know, how much as the season goes on does he open the eyes of teams around the league of, oh, yeah, we probably need to watch out for that guy over there. I mean, I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, he looked really good in the preseason. I think he's a good player. Is he good enough yet to where he can be a game changer with starters out there? I don't know. Like, I don't expect, like I said, I don't expect double-digit sacks or anything like that from Rashad Weaver. But can he get to the quarterback and get pressure consistently enough where he forces the opposing team to look over and say, all right, well, we can't just expend all of our energy on Dupree and Simmons. We got to go take a look at that Weaver guy too. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that or not.
Yeah, I don't either. Again, best case scenario of those two guys is Bud Dupree's a double-digit sack guy and a premier pass rusher. And Weaver is, I don't know what the number is, but gosh, can you get six sacks out of him and a lot of good play? And again, I think he is a good run stopper right now.
Yeah.
And he's going to be stout. You know, how much can he give you in terms of, you know, actually getting to the quarterback? Best case scenario is probably something like that, you know, half a dozen sacks or whatever. That would be big. And look, before any of this happened, on the discussion of Bud Dupree and the dead money next year and all that stuff, I mean, Rashad Weaver, to me, was that guy that if he looks really good as that third guy this year, that you may be going with Landry and Weaver moving forward. Well, you know, now Weaver gets a real audition on whether, you know, he can be, you know, one of your starters moving forward. And, of course, if you're the Titans and you can have a starter of quality and pay him on his rookie deal, that's what you got to do in this league because the cap is real.
I got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, we are cursed as a fan base. Dave in Big Rock on the text line says, we led the league in injuries and replacement players, and Landry is down before the first snap. Is there something football teams can do to corral this, or is this just bad luck? Lots of players tweeting about turf versus grass last year. This is from Dave in Big Rock. I think, well, this one specifically is just bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, look, if someone tears an ACL, like last year, with if it looks like there's a freaking hamstring virus, then it's like, okay, guys, can we do something different? You know, more cold tub, less cold tub, more icy hot, more stretching or whatever, soft tissue stuff. If someone tears an ACL, you know, and I mean, it's just terrible luck. It happens. And it just happens randomly. You see it in games, and we know what happens in practices. You plant weirdly, whether it's turf or grass, and it's a problem. Now, as far as turf versus grass, you can look at Derrick Henry. Of course, he got that foot injury on turf, and a lot of guys prefer to play on grass because it's just a little bit more cushion. But, of course, the Titans practice and play on grass.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where the ACL – look, I mean, I've seen players running straight down the field, not cutting at all, and tear their ACL in football. Like, it's just so random and weird how it happens sometimes. So, like, I understand. I totally get the conversation of, oh my, if you're a Titans fan, oh my gosh, when is this going to stop? Like, when are people going to stop getting hurt? I get it. But sometimes it's just, that's football, man. It's bad luck with this one.
Yeah, ACL or an Achilles. I mean, you see that too. It's like an absolute, you know, world-class athlete. I've seen this, you know, like a college basketball player. World-class athlete turns around to run down the other way. Boom, the Achilles pops. Huh? How? You know, I mean, things like that. It's just terrible luck. So maybe this will be the big one for the Titans, and they won't have the stream of them like they did last year, and this is it. You know, every fan base thinks they're cursed at some point, at one point or another.
What did you make of Ola Adeyemi's camp? And I think we know what he's carved out for himself on special teams. What sort of a threat or a complementary piece can he be rushing the passer, do you think?
Well, yeah, I think that, like last year, there were times because of injury that he had to go in there and play, and he did some really good things. But I think ideally he's still, you know, he's a depth guy. That's what's going to be interesting is Adeyemi getting, you know, more defensive snaps because of this, or is Autry's like role changing a little bit? And it's really the solution is really more rotated among, you know, Dupree, Weaver, and Autry. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that might be more likely than you're going to see a bunch of Ola Adeyemi. But again, it's like he's done it. He's certainly on this team in part for special teams, but you could do a lot worse than that guy as your four, now becoming your three. But it's kind of like 3.5 because of Autry's versatility.
We'll continue the conversation on Harold Landry's injury for the Titans. Also get to some news on the Derrick Henry front yesterday as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a family four-pack of tickets to give away and two unlimited ride wristbands to the Nashville Fair. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Nashville Fair taking place Friday, September 9th through Sunday, September 18th. There will be food, arts, livestock, fair food, agriculture, rides as well. Lots of things going on at the Nashville Fair. Caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So looking forward to that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland, who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, Robbie, what's going on, buddy? So, man, it's pretty wild that you think of, like, Kern and Saffold and Landry all at the Pro Bowl, and then we don't have any of them the following year. That's wild to me. I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, we're pretty deep. I mean, I love the dude. He's great. I thought even, like, early on, whenever he wasn't being, I guess, as highly praised, and still kind of coming up, because he was supposed to be a first-round pick. You remember that? And we ended up getting him as kind of a still pick, and he's been great ever since. I kind of think Weaver could do the same thing. I called Jared yesterday, and he made fun of me because I wasn't comparing him to Javon Kearse, but I'm like, what if he turns into something like that? Because he's big. It seems like every time he's ever been on the field, Weaver makes plays. So why couldn't he be something special, you know, especially having so many other people around him? I think he's going to be put in the best situation possible. Simmons, and I think it's really a prove it year too for Bud Dupree. He's got to do more. Like, it's, I think our defense can still be really good. So I don't know. I'm really excited to see Weaver in a bigger role.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, the thing with Weaver, Joe, is I like a lot of what I've seen from him. I think he's looked good in the preseason. I liked him at Pittsburgh. We just haven't really seen him in the regular season in the NFL. I mean, he got hurt so early last year that there's no sample size there as to what he is and what he translates to at the NFL level. So, like, as much as anything, I think there's a curiosity factor there for me with him as to what exactly he is. Like, I like a lot of the physical tools. I like the way that he plays the game, if that makes sense, in terms of his approach and the tenacity and all that. But I have no clue what he's going to look like, especially if he's forced to be in a starting role. That's why, like, if Landry was healthy and Dupree was healthy, I was really interested to see what situations they were going to use Weaver in and when exactly he'd be on the field. Now, assuming that they don't go out and get somebody else to be a starter, if he's the guy that's starting, you know, what does he translate to? I have no clue. Like, I think there's more of a curiosity factor there with him than anything else.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see what he is in an NFL regular season as a heavy snap guy. We've talked about this before on the show. I watched him quite a bit in college for Narduzzi's Panthers, and he's a hand in the dirt for, you know, 4-3 defensive end in that Narduzzi defense. So it's a transition to what he's doing now a little bit. I'm keeping an open mind. When I watch him, I feel like he definitely has work to do still in terms of building a repertoire as a pass rusher. I think where he's most effective from my view on the sideline, he's most effective as a bull rusher, as a powerful guy who can, you know, get into the chest of an offensive tackle and drive him back. I feel like he still has work to do in terms of, you know, in terms of getting around people, but I'll say that, and then he'll have 12 sacks this year. It's hard to know.
Well, let me ask you this. Could you move Weaver inside and Autry outside?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, look, again, Vrabel, they do from week to week at time. Like, if you really – and it's not like I've charted these things, but I mean, I feel like different games sometimes they even will have different looks where people are moved around. It includes in the secondary as well, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, he's super long, you know. I mean, I think he – you know, I think he's primarily going to work outside, but yeah, I mean, I think you can move him around, move Autry around. You still have a lot to work with. It's a puzzle. Like, there's a lot of good pieces still in the puzzle for Shane Bowen and Vrabel, and I guess Jim Schwartz. You know, if you want,
yeah, put him in there.
gotta mention him every time. You lose a big one, you lose a big piece, but there's still some really intriguing pieces, and yeah, they're gonna have to be creative and find where everybody fits. Again, if Autry is 2021 Autry this year, and certainly it's fair to maybe expect a little bit of rust with no camp and he's getting up there and everything. But if he's 2021 Autry, then that will mean a lot in terms of trying to compensate for this.
I still look at this front though. Like, if Jeffrey Simmons is as disruptive as I think he's going to be this year, I still think there's a chance that this front can be fine. Like, obviously not as good. I'm not saying that the loss of Harold Landry isn't a big deal, because it is. But if Simmons is still the player that I think he's going to be this year, you can get something from Weaver. You're close to what you had from Autry last year, because I've said this before. I don't know that I expect Autry to be as good as he was last year. I'm expecting kind of a little bit of a drop-off. But we'll see if he can be close to what he was last year and Bud Dupree is healthy. Then I still feel decent about this front moving into the season. But a lot of that just starts with Simmons. Like, how much of an absolute monster can Jeffrey Simmons be this year? Because now they require it really even more out of him.
Yeah. Well, look, they could still be very good without question. And you still start it with 98. And I feel pretty confident in saying, after watching him in camp, I think he's going to take it to a new level. How much of a new level? You know, I'm not saying he's going to just take this huge jump. I mean, he was great last year, but he looks a little bit quicker, and he doesn't look like he's lost any power. And he's also going to be doubled and tripled and all that stuff. But again, that's opportunity for everybody else. So there's still a lot to like about that part of the team. I mean, you could still make the case, even with Landry lost, that pass rush could be as good as anything for the Titans. I mean, it's possible. If that's true, well, I guess if that's true, that could be, wow, great job compensating. But also, it's like, okay, so wouldn't another area of the team, you know, threaten? Yeah. Like, well, Like, there are still bigger questions, though, right now, for sure, for this team. As someone pointed on the text line earlier, you know, the offensive line's still a much bigger concern.
Joe, some interesting news on the Derrick Henry front yesterday. Ian Rappaport putting it out there that the Titans reworked Derrick Henry's contract. He got a $2 million raise, which brings him up to $14 million for this year. That's the highest paid running back in the league for this season. So Zeke Elliott was the highest at $12.4 million. And now Derrick Henry bumped up to $14 million this year. So some interesting news on that front with Derrick Henry. A little bit of a raise for the King heading into this year.
Yeah, but just, I mean, really just a restructure, right? I mean, basically he's going to get, it's like the converting stuff into bonus, according to Over the Cap, $9 million on the bonus. So the base salary goes down. So essentially, I don't know if there's a specific reason, like something else is coming, but the cap number goes to under 10. It wasn't 15. So you've saved 5.2 on the cap. You got more space. What does that mean? You know, again, it's like, it's a nice headline for Derrick Henry. You're the highest paid running back technically this year. You know, they have the voidable years. Now you add the voidable years, you know, which means now that bonus that they've given him, the signing bonus of 9, now you can split it between all those years, you know. So basically, it's a move to create space this year. Is something coming? Like, is there something that's about to stress that cap? Like, I don't know. Maybe a big extension for somebody. You know, maybe there is. There are some different people who could be up for one, starting with 98, but also you have, Hooker is another one too. So it's not a huge deal. He's still an unrestricted free agent after next season per his contract.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Vols and their game last night against Ball State. Also take a look around what was a pretty entertaining night of college football as well. That coming up next. This September 10th and 11th, the Chainsmokers hit Music City at the Blended Wine and Music Festival. 24 bands, 2 stages, 1 weekend, all under the Nashville skyline. Buy your tickets now at blendedfestival.com. Once again, that's blendedfestival.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. College football back in action last night. Joe Rex Row, it was a beautiful thing. We'll get to the Tennessee game here in just a minute. I do want to say your next opportunity and your final opportunity to join the Robbie and Rex Row Fantasy Football League coming up here in about 8 minutes. So get ready for that. 8 minute warning for the final opportunity.
Last spot.
So we are giving that away here in about 8 minutes here on the program. So make sure you're tuned in for that. 59-10 win last night for Tennessee against Ball State. Hendon Hooker, 18 of 25, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns through the air. Also had 2 touchdowns on the ground as well. Not a huge test from Tennessee last night with Ball State in the building. But just your overall takeaway of the offense last night for the Vols in a 59-10 win, Joe Rexroth.
Well, look, I like the offensive line. That's certainly put an asterisk next to that against Ball State. But for what they had in front of them, I thought they executed really well. I thought the offense was clean. The Vols got a lot of guys open and made a lot of big plays and ran like 4 offensive plays all night. So that's always good if you can be very vanilla in your opener when you got a much tougher game coming up next. I thought Hooker was good. You can't complain about 18 for 25, 222, 2 touchdowns, along with 2 rushing touchdowns. I didn't think Hooker was his best. I thought he missed on a few passes that, you know, you want to see him hit on. So let's nitpick him. I mean, we're talking about a low-key Heisman candidate, you know, then that's what it's going to be like. But I really, if anything stood out to me as really good, one, I like Jabari Small a lot. I think he's better this year. I think he could have a huge year. And adding Brew McCoy to that offense. You know, Jalen Hyatt gets a touchdown early. McCoy, Hyatt with Tillman, that's your three. And there's other guys who are going to be in there. And, you know, Ramel Keaton, by the way, made some nice plays and for nice the Vols. Yeah. He did. He did have a nice game. But those three are your three, and that three could be really good. You can see the importance right away of Brew McCoy getting eligible.
Yeah, he's huge. I mean, that was the thing that stood out to me, watching Tillman and McCoy on the field at the same time. They have two massive wide receivers out there. I mean, Hyatt's got the speed, and yeah, I'm interested to see how much more involved he gets moving forward. I don't think that the Tennessee showed all that much last night. I don't think that I think that was intentional by Josh Heupel as they head into this next game against Pittsburgh. But, I mean, just the sheer size of Tillman and McCoy out there, I think is going to cause some problems for some people as they move forward.
Yeah. David Ubbin made the point last night. It's like you're like a 5'10 corner, and you got these guys coming in. You don't want to deal with those guys all day. Not even just tackling them, just grappling with them. You know, you're trying to play press man against those guys. I mean, it's a nice weapon to have for the Vols.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg on the text line, it says, waiting for the Joe Milton comments. So, Joe, give the people what they want. Your impressions of Joe Milton last night, who, by the way, 8 of 9, 113 yards and a touchdown, also had a very nice 21-yard scramble as well.
I thought he looked good. He looked pretty good.
He
did have a Jover throw, although it wasn't the classic guy's wide open deep and he overshoots him by 10 yards.
He was wide open in the end zone.
And you just gotta, you gotta take the fastball off. And then when you gotta switch to the changeup and just lob it in there. So something to work on, but he hit every other pass. Most of them were quick hitters. The touchdown to Jimmy Holiday was a freaking seed, though. I mean, that was wide open, but still, he ripped that one.
Well, he threw another one to Holiday that there was either a pass interference on the play or something. I don't remember what the penalty call was, but it was in the end zone. And I swear to you, he threw that ball 135 miles an hour. Like, it was unbelievable how hard he threw that ball.
So, you guys get all your Joe Milton jokes in. You can just spend the whole year, if you like, at my expense.
Hey, man,
just
he looked good.
Just be ready, because, you know, he has progressed, and they think so. They're excited about him, and it is a good thing for Tennessee that he is trending to be a contender for that job in a year. It's also a good thing in terms of insurance for Hooker, of course. And by the way, on that front, Hendon Hooker, especially if you're up $1 million on a team in the second half, don't get tackled.
No.
Like, just go down.
Yeah, that was a pretty nerve-wracking play last night for Tennessee fans. Around the rest of college football, Joe, three interesting games real quick that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Pitt takes down West Virginia 38-31. My biggest takeaway from that game is nice win by Pittsburgh. I think that's a winnable game for Tennessee next week. Why in the world they went 11 years without playing that game between West Virginia and Pittsburgh is beyond me. The atmosphere was awesome in that game last night. Awesome to watch.
It was. Narduzzi, friend of the show, on the show next week, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Just losing his mind on everybody who works at ESPN. Yes. I mean, what are these stupid projections? Like, why would you even have some dumb thing where, like, it'll be 75% West Virginia fans? I will say, I'm looking at that crowd last night, and for one thing, I'm like, you know, when's the last time that the city of Pittsburgh went into a football season and said, you know what, our college team is better than our pro team?
Mm.
It's been a long time, and I think they're overrated at 17, but they're still pretty good. That was awesome to see that crowd. I'm really interested to see what it looks like next Saturday for the Tennessee game, which is, of course, a 3:30 Eastern game. But that was cool. And also, like you said, Robbie, it's crazy. Last night was a perfect summation of, like, the greatness and also the idiocy of college football. It's like such a great game, and the intensity, and my God, those teams hate each other. Like, you can just
– oh, yeah.
You could tell on every play. And it's like, this is what we want. Like, real, actual college football rivalries, hard to beat. And then also, by the way, it's been 11 years because, hey, let's put let's have a bunch of stupid conferences that make no sense for TV. You know, it's so frustrating that we lose these games. I mean, again, I've lamented Nebraska, Oklahoma, which was one of the things you would never miss when I was a kid. Huge game. You just lose that and on and on and on. But at least we have the games, and the games are fantastic.
We had Penn State take down Purdue last night, 35-31, the final score in a game. Quite frankly, Joe, I think both teams tried to lose on a couple of different occasions, but Penn State coming away the victor on the road, taking down Purdue last night, 35-31. Shout out to Jeff Brohm and James Franklin.
Yeah, people get all over James Franklin for blowing games and all this stuff, and also on his quarterback who threw a terrible pick, and Clifford's not great, but he was good on that last drive. But man, Jeff Brohm, if you're winning a game with a couple minutes left, I would advise potentially running the football a little bit. Yes, try it. That's a crusher for the Boiler Ups.
And then an interesting game to pay attention to, not because of the final score or the matchup itself, but Vanderbilt will be taking on this team next week. Wake Forest wins 44-10 last night against VMI. But the bigger story, the quarterback, Mitch Griffiths in there. Sam Hartman not in there last night, and Griffiths looked pretty good. 21-29, 3 touchdowns for 288. Pretty good-looking Wake Forest team last night, albeit against competition that is not good.
Yeah, that is Virginia Military Institute, yes, by the way. But yeah, Griffiths.
The cadets.
That's right. Looking at the highlights, Griffiths looks talented. That offense looks explosive. No idea if Sam Hartman's going to be available for the Vanderbilt game on the 10th or not. But that's either way, that's going to be a big challenge for Vanderbilt's defense. I also think I think that could be kind of like a high scoring, really fun game and a huge game on Vanderbilt's schedule.
So it is that time for the fantasy football trivia question of the day. And today's question is this. I wanted Joe, for our final question, to find some way to get Joe Milton involved. So I have. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, for our final spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. And today's trivia question is this. Where did Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton play before they came to Tennessee? Where did Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton play before they came to Tennessee? If you know the answers to both schools, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The correct answers will win the final spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
Better be some fast texting fingers on that one, folks.
There better be. I would imagine. I think the Hooker one's a little bit more difficult than Joe Milton, but we'll see.
But everybody should know and celebrate
they should.
Where Hooker went before.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So looking forward to that answer. Joe, I assume you do know the answer to this trivia question.
I do.
There have been some that I wondered whether or not you would.
Guys, yeah, have a winner.
Oh, we have a winner.
Austin in Clarksville.
Oh, yes. Austin from Clarksville correctly guessing Virginia Tech and Michigan are the schools. Virginia Tech with Hendon Hooker, Michigan the school for Joe Milton. By the way, I started talking about Joe Milton last night, and a couple people that are Michigan fans on Twitter were talking to me about Joe Milton and the fastball that he has last night. So congratulations to Austin, our final spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, which, by the way, our fantasy draft taking place at 3rd and Home next Wednesday night. Germantown's ball with the ballparks. So looking forward to that. Going to be a great event. Looking forward to the Fantasy Football League this year. And we appreciate everybody's interest. There's been a whole lot of interest in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League this year as well. So looking forward to keeping you updated on that all season long. And maybe, just maybe, Joe, somebody can challenge me this year.
We're all aiming at you, Robbie. Enjoy it now.
I beat Robbie last year. I just need to keep saying that. Even though you won the league, I still beat you week one.
It's a fair point.
I think we played 3 times and I won 2. So there's that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. 102.5. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It's not just me, no, you feel it too. You know and I know, we lost a lot, oh. It's like I love.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now I'm going to tell you right now why Dylan Raidens is going to be a freaking all pro in 2 years. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I want somebody to tell me why the hell I should not delete TikTok from my children's phones and ban it. And why is it not banned in society? I want someone to tell me, and Michelle, you may want to argue the other side of
this. Oh, I do.
How there's a remotely redeeming quality about this ridiculous app, okay?
It's brutal.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's a few seconds. Usually just these dances, fine, they're harmless. Or I guess, like, was it Vrabel who said, like, they have recipes or whatever? Okay, yeah. Fine. But there's also a bunch of terrible crap on it. I know there's stuff on it that I don't want to know about that kids can probably get to. Studies have been done, and the format has been linked to now they're still studying it, but it's been linked to the decreased attention spans. Apparently, like, dominant, you know, the users of this app are 24 and under. And so decreased attention spans for a generation that already has the attention spans of drunken hamsters. And we're going to try to make it worse? I'm sorry, man. You know, great. Here's how to, like, you know, fix your lawnmower, stuff like that. You can get all that. You can go to YouTube and then and find all that stuff. You can find all that stuff elsewhere. Not to mention, like, the data collection and all the things that people are worried about with TikTok. I understand you can call me a boomer on this, and that's fine. Call me a boomer. I feel like it is, like, absolutely symbolic of our issues where we can't focus on anything for more than 15 seconds, and it's just a bunch of fluff and potentially harmful crap, and I'm sick of it, and I hate to be that guy, but, like, do I need to ban it? I'm leaning toward yes.
No.
Well, you're asking the wrong person in me because I can't stand it, and I'm not on it, but I know several people in my immediate circle are on it. Really, the only thing that bothers me about it, because I don't watch it, the only thing that bothers me about it is, like, when somebody else is on it and they're around me. Like, if you're on Facebook around me, or Twitter around me, or whatever, like, I'm not constantly hearing it, but it's just video after video after video after video. And I'm just like, can you go somewhere else with your phone right now? It is unbelievable. It's like, it's just thing after thing after thing on TikTok. So honestly, like, I don't really know that much about it. I mean, I've got a base level knowledge of what it is and have seen it, obviously, but I have refused to get on it because as I turn 30 years old later this month, I'm slowly, day by day, becoming more of a boomer with each passing day. And I just haven't done it. And I don't anticipate that I will do it at any point. Get on TikTok.
Okay, let me get in on this. Okay.
It's garbage, Michelle.
Okay, you need to slow your roll, first off. Okay, I think not just TikTok, but social media as a whole, people are on 24/7. Yes, TikTok has recently, you know, taken over. But I would argue that TikTok is better than Instagram because when you're scrolling on Instagram, it's just everybody, as far as, like, you know, mental health and, like, young teens, tweens, that age, like, when you're scrolling on Instagram, everybody just posts everything that's, like, just perfect about your life. And I would argue that, you know, TikTok actually, like, the algorithm, like, people can have completely different news feeds. Like, you don't follow, well, you can follow people, but it's called like your For You page. And then essentially the algorithm like posts videos that you would like. So for instance, mine is like, my algorithm is, since I'm about to move and I'm looking at apartment stuff, it's all like, oh, buy this on Amazon or certain things like that. And actually information that you could use that could help you. Whereas if you're looking at just this perfect edited picture on Instagram, it's like, oh my God, I need to look like that. But it's completely impossible because they've edited their entire body. And everybody thinks that TikTok is just dances, when I promise you, like if you pulled up mine, it would be, you know, probably college football stuff. They've got like highlight videos on there. It'd probably be, you know, Amazon buying things, organizing your apartment, recipes, the amount of healthy recipes I've gotten from it. So these are actually skills that you can take. So no, Caroline Rexroad is allowed to have TikTok, and I'm saying it right here, right now, Rexroad.
What was that again? The FU page? Yeah, that's about
no, the For You page, FYP. Listen, it's actually, I think, listen, I know you can get into a dark hole, though, and like look up and be like, oh, wow, that was 45 minutes. That just went by of my life. But yeah. I think it's it actually gives you information rather than just staring at pictures of people.
Look, don't get me wrong. I'll launch Instagram into the sun, too. We can put them both on the same rocket ship. OK, and I totally hear you on. Yeah, everything's great. I mean, and then the Facebook thing. I don't go.
Don't get me started about Twitter.
Yeah, look, we're all happy. We're always happy, and everything's wonderful. No, I mean, it's all – no, I'm with you, and I – probably the worst thing for kids that age is this. Oh, I just found out that three of my friends did this without me, and they're having a blast, and, you know, it's just the worst. But I got someone texting me, you know, check out the invasiveness of the terms of agreement for TikTok, and I don't even know about that stuff. You know, I don't know. But I do know that if
not you great.
Watch, what the heck? What was that movie? Really good. Everybody should watch that movie. On
Social
Netflix.
Network.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
The Facebook one.
About Facebook. I mean, terrible. You know, all of it. That's all worrisome. But Robbie, to your point. What you talked about with people around you. Well, if you have a 15 and 12 year old around you and you're in a car and you're trying to listen to whatever, well, oh, forget man. About it, because it's blah, 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 blah. It's just all freaking day. And I have not seen a lot of, I'm sure, Michelle, yeah, you got recipes, but again, you can get that somewhere else. You have to have TikTok to get good recipes.
Yes.
I mean, I like say, hey, I want to make a chicken breast recipe tonight. I bought chicken breast and I got a million recipes come up on
Rex Google. Rexroad's got a recipe book TikTok? That's been passed down for 125 years.
Yeah,
for God's sake. He's ready to go.
It's the quickness of it. It's a 30-second video and you can watch it. And once you watch it,
but
I'm
it's
like,
not worth
okay,
all the other
cool.
crap though. But it's not worth the other crap. The other crap is crap.
But the other crap is on all other social media crap. Crap.
Well, that's the other part about this that really bothers me. It's now Instagram's trying to become TikTok and Facebook's trying to become TikTok too. Like, they got these reels or whatever of like basically TikTok videos that are just put on Instagram. It drives me nuts. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to avoid this for a reason. Don't infringe on me on the other platforms as well. Which is why, as the older I get, the less and less time I continue to spend on social media.
Smart.
Like, I'm just, you know, I have to be on Twitter for work. We're on Twitter with the show.
Yeah.
I feel like you can get a good news feed. I mean, look, not that Twitter's great. I understand. Okay. I'm not, don't get me wrong.
It sucks.
None of it's good, but I can live with that. Everything else, I don't know. I mean, this was a rant and it's a good discussion, but I'm not kidding. Like, I feel like banning it. I don't want to be that guy, but maybe I need to be that guy.
I mean, you're not going to get an argument from me banning it. Rob from Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a text that I identify with this text message. Going to change my name to TikTok. Maybe then my wife will notice me. This is coming from Rob from Clarksville on the text line. My wife can go down a TikTok rabbit hole every now and then.
I mean, it's like, it's, you know, we used to complain about, like, when we grew up, like, oh, the kids watching too much TV. I'm like, turn the TV on. Yeah. Like, you're in a room with a TV. Why are you sitting there with these stupid TikTok videos all day? Like, do something else.
Yeah, amazing stuff. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every day at 7:45 here on the program. There's a lot of response to this on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. We'll be joined by our friend Teron Davenport from ESPN, get his thoughts on where the Titans go from here now that Harold Landry is going to be out with a torn ACL. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.